Coming to you live from a fogged out apartment somewhere in the United States, it's the TH Cinema Podcast.
Join us as we journey along the path to Pattinson.
Welcome, everyone, to TH Cinema Podcast. My name is Snort, and with me, as always, is the Jacob and Edward to my Bella.
I have no idea who any of those people are.
The Laurent and James to my Victoria.
I still have no idea who any of those people are.
Those are the deeper cuts.
Dan.
Hello.
Silent John.
Hello.
And Freight couldn't be here tonight. So we just got done smoking a lot of weeds.
A lot of weeds.
Lots and lots and lots and lots.
And today we are continuing our path to Pattinson with my favorite Robert Pattinson movie, Twilight.
I'm not sure if you've been looking forward to this more or if I've been dreading this more. But I think they're neck and neck in the opposite directions.
I am so excited for this because I love these movies so much and never have anybody to talk about it with, really. And now you guys have to listen to me talk about it. So I think this is going to be really fun.
This is a podcast that I am excited for many different reasons. I have been wrangled into seeing these movies a handful of times already, so this is not my first. But Dan, this is your first, and I am extremely excited to see what your instant takeaways are going to be after watching the first one and watching the last one later on.
I have a feeling that much like The Lighthouse, I'm not going to be able to absorb all of this in one sitting for different reasons than for The Lighthouse.
It's just something you're going to have to chew on for a while.
The chewing I can do. The digesting I'm a little worried about.
Trust me, there's a lot to digest in this series.
Before we dive into Twilight, we'll get into a little bit of movie news. Probably the biggest thing is the trailer that dropped during a big important football game.
Yeah, so during said football game, a little trailer came out for the upcoming Doctor Strange movie, and it wasn't the after-credits scene from Spider-Man No Way Home.
Good on them for that, because I was extremely worried that that's what we were going to get when it did drop. And it was a very meaty trailer, with still leaving a lot of breadcrumbs.
You know what's funny is, this came out a little while ago, and we've kind of talked about it amongst ourselves. I totally forgot there was already a trailer that came out after Spider-Man. I just came to the realization of that right now.
Wait, you forgot that we already saw a Doctor Strange trailer?
Yeah.
We stuck around all the credits for this thing, and you forgot about it.
To watch its inferior brother, we forewent leaving the movie theater early. The one that aired at the football game was far superior in every way to the end credits scene of Spider-Man No Way Home.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Which, again, just such a big wasted opportunity.
But after getting this trailer, maybe I'm okay with it. There's so many things you could have done at the end of the credits of Spider-Man. And seeing in this trailer now what we potentially are getting in Doctor Strange, I'm okay saving some of those surprises just to unload in whatever comes in the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, at the end of Spider-Man No Way Home, mm-hmm. it would have been better served to have Doctor Strange back in his, like, sweats, just puttering around the house, and then all of a sudden, like, a little portal opens up and he hears Wanda scream at him or something. You know? Like, something like that would have been a lot better served.
Just like a little snippet of something.
Yeah. Than airing an entire trailer.
No, I absolutely agree. Even with what we see now in this trailer and what we now are feasting over, I still disagree with the placement of it being at the end of the credits, no matter what. That's still such a dumb move.
Okay, so there's obviously a lot to dissect with Marvel all the time, and this conversation could be very long right now. But, Dan, you're getting one Marvel minute to get it all out.
Okay, so there were so many things that were going on with this trailer. You've got Doctor Strange going through different multiverses. You've got, potentially, you've got the Illuminati. The Illuminati is a collective of high-level superheroes through different multiverses, usually consisting of, like, Black Panther, who maybe we'll see some Michael B. Jordan. We obviously know we're getting Professor Xavier, Patrick Stewart. Potentially, Mr. Fantastic is usually in the Illuminati also, and they're all in control of what's going on through the multiverse, kind of not in a watcher fashion, but kind of like actually influencing the events that are taking place throughout the universe. You've got that potential there, and then you've also got the potential of the crossover coming from Loki with He Who Remains, who is Kang, who is a time-traveling, multiversal, dimension-hopping fucking warlord, potentially in one of the different variants. You've got the potential of variants popping out. There's rumors coming out all over the place about Daniel Radcliffe maybe being Wolverine, or John Krasinski popping in as Mr. Fantastic. Nick Cage as Ghost Rider popping out. Who the fuck knows what's going to happen? It's going to be so much Marvel Minute.
Wow.
That was absolutely brilliant. That is going to help me with all these Marvel movies, honestly. That was like the crash course that I didn't think I needed, but damn, thank you for that.
So we have another trailer that dropped recently that I am so excited for, and that is the king himself, Elvis.
So this is your, like, Doctor Strange to Dan.
Yeah, probably. I love Elvis. I'm a huge Elvis fan.
I'm really interested in this. I think it's going to be really, really well done. It's very stylized. There's going to be a lot of great music. Baz Luhrmann, perfect fucking choice for it. He does such great visual music work in cinema. Mm-hmm. The kid who's playing Elvis, thumbs the fuck up. That guy is on point. Like, James Franco is Tommy Wiseau on fucking point. That level of, like, melting into a character.
Yeah, and it's crazy because I know we all rewatched this trailer before we did this, and it's kind of a no-name actor, per se. I know, Snort, you said he was in, what, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Mm-hmm.
Which that's, I think, probably the only thing I've seen him in. So to get this vibe from him from this trailer that he's already nailing it makes me really, really excited for this.
I'm so excited for it. Everything in it looked amazing. I do have some thoughts, though, is that I do wish the trailer was a little bit shorter. I almost feel like I saw too much in the trailer. But on the other side of that, it also made me want to see even more and more of it. So I'm not sure how I feel about that. I love the shot of Elvis standing on the stage and, like, the costume changing, like, night after night kind of thing. The little shot of Graceland that we see, and that's exciting.
And lest we forget, the iconic pelvis shot.
Ooh, that pelvis.
He ain't nothing but a hound dog.
All right, I do have a hot take for you guys, though.
Okay.
I'm ready for this.
The one thing that I'm not sold on in this Elvis movie, physically, the words coming out of my mouth are like thorns, but Tom Hanks was not a good choice for this role.
He sticks out like a sore thumb in this movie, and it makes me so sad.
It might be the prosthetics. They kind of do make him look a little thummy.
I think that's what it is. I think that, and I think just the character that he's, like, hamming it up and stuff, I just think it's not good.
I think it could have been better portrayed by a lot of different actors. Top of my list, why isn't John Goodman doing this?
Oh, when you say that, now I'm even more sad. Damn.
I never thought I'd see the day where I didn't want to see Tom Hanks in a movie, but that day has come.
That was my first reaction when I first watched this trailer is, I don't think I've ever been this upset about him being in something. It doesn't feel like a natural reaction. I don't know how to react to that feeling. I hate how much I agree with you, Dan. I really do.
I'm curious to see how big of a part Tom Hanks has in this, because maybe you just put him in the trailer a bunch because it's Tom Hanks.
No, he's the colonel. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know. I think
he is all over this fucking movie. You know he is.
I don't know. I guess I just, as disappointed as I am with Tom Hanks based on only the trailer, I mean, at the end of the day, it's still Tom Hanks. He still produces fantastic performances year after year. So I don't know if I'm at that level of him tanking it yet. I do have my concerns, but surely he'll at least have that one scene, you know, that'll be like, okay, it's fucking Tom Hanks. But I think you sold me so hard on John Goodman so fast that that's all I'm going to accept. Because I've seen him play a role similar to this in a different movie, and it was spot on. So now I just, what better movie to reprise a role similar to than this fucking movie? And we're not going to get it. We're going to get Ham Hanks. Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. Time will tell. Well, before we can see Elvis, we get to see Edward.
Oh, God.
Quite the drop-off we have here.
But guys, our path to Pattinson continues. Tonight we're watching Twilight.
Audible groan noises.
Heavy sigh.
Screeching scream. Just as a little background, I was a twihard. Like, it was a personality trait that I was a twihard. And still probably is.
So, like, when the local news was going around to the lines interviewing people, like, there was Snort.
Oh, yeah. Every movie.
Well, I think if you just look around this room that we're sitting in right now.
Yeah, the word was really confused me staring at the decor at the moment.
Let's just change that to currently and forever will be a twihard, most likely.
Should we set the scene a little bit with what we're looking at?
I can look in any direction. I am face full of Pattinson.
Sometimes you are legitimately face to face with Pattinson. Snort, would you like to give everyone a breakdown of what's in this room?
So, right now, I am wearing my original Twilight movie t-shirt that has Edward on the front of it that somehow I still fit into. We have two Breaking Dawn Part 1 pillowcases, one just with Robert Pattinson's face on it. We have a Bella and Edward tapestry hanging, and we have our beautiful book box set sitting out.
Legitimately, every which way you look, it's Twilight, or it's mainly Robert Pattinson.
We had to go through some tubs and pull some stuff out for the occasion. But for the movie tonight, I know you guys are not looking forward to it much.
Well, I mean, it is a cinematic masterpiece, so I'm pretty stoked to watch it again.
So my understanding of the Twilight of it all is pretty much internet-based and top 10 lists or of top 10 worst so-and-sos based. So I don't have a lot walking into this, so I have zero to no expectations. So I'm thinking it can only raise it, but by the inquisitive look that Silent John just made, I'm not so sure that that's going to be happening for me.
I just feel like this is a necessary stepping stone on our path to Pattinson. Even if you don't want it, it needs to be done. You need to see the origin of the man himself.
Because really, the only thing before he was in Twilight was Harry Potter. So, yeah, this was the start to Pattinson, really. But I'm really excited to show you guys these movies because, like I've said many a times, I absolutely love these movies. And I would go on to say that if I had to pick my absolute favorite movie, it's probably going to be the movie we're about to watch, the first Twilight. And here's the thing with it, though. I know it's not the best acting, it's not the best story, but it's just so what I grew up with. If there were the movies that made us, it would be the Twilight movies and the Star Wars movies for me. So as much as you guys will hate them, you can never hate them more than I love them.
So you're prepared for the heat we're going to be throwing your way at the end of all this.
I am, because also it's not going to be anything I haven't heard before about these Twilight movies. I get it, but it ain't going to bring me down.
I will say, for as much as I strongly dislike these movies, there is fun to be had with them. You will hopefully find the humor in some moments in this film that I kind of think are absurd and just cannot stop shaking my head at every time I see these movies.
I'm mostly at a loss of what this is going to be like for me. Because my nice person is going to want to defer to not tearing your favorite movie to shreds, but I feel I have a duty to myself, Silent John, the listeners, Leo, and society at large to do this movie justice.
To be fair, she did kind of give you the okay, so I want you to unleash hell at the end of this movie. I want to hear the rant. I want to hear everything. Please don't hold back. Uncensored Dan is what I need.
I think it's just going to be a lot of audible facepalming. Like, if facepalming had a sound, that's the sound I'll be making throughout.
Okay, but in the spirit of fairness, as much as you tearing this movie to shreds, I get to rave and go on about how much I love it.
I mean, to be fair, I've shown you my fair share of movies that were not your cup of tea. So it is only, you know, good turnaround that this is happening. But for the most part, like when I showed you House on Haunted Hill 1999, mm-hmm. upon rewatching it, I saw, oh no, this is not as good as I remember. And you've seen this how many times, Snort?
I would say this one probably at least 70 plus times. Oh, wow. I actually watched this earlier this week.
In anticipation or just in regular viewing?
Kind of both. It's honestly a movie that I could probably say all of the words to. I've seen this movie a lot of times. And what I would say is very different about this movie than all of the others is obviously it's the first one. They didn't really know it was going to blow up into what it became. So it has a very different feel than any other Twilight movie. It has a very like indie, lower budget before they kind of Hollywooded it up for the next movies.
Before teams were chosen.
Oh no, teams were chosen before you went into the movies.
No, well, I'm saying when the original Twilight came out, there weren't any teams yet, right? No. Did you walk in with teams?
Yeah, because the books were already out. So the original Twilight book came out in 2005 and the Twilight movie came out in 2008. So teams were already chosen from the books.
I'm not going to lie. I thought the books were an adaptation of the movies.
What?
Really?
Sorry.
How did you get to that point?
Twilight.
Okay, so to back it up, Stephanie Meyer created this Twilight universe that she had from a dream.
The TCU?
Yes.
Came to Stephanie Meyer in a dream.
Yes. And she created this, the Twilight universe that we know and love today.
This very sparkly universe.
It was a book? Burst?
Yeah, so going into the first movie, people already kind of had ideas of their teams. So, yeah.
So which team did you walk in? I mean, I see you wearing the shirt you wore when you walked into this movie, the legitimate actual artifact.
From 2008.
So I'm going to guess you were Team Pattinson.
I will forever and always be Team Edward.
I will just say that there were definitely clear battle lines drawn from the beginning of this whole series when the movies came out. And you wouldn't expect me to pick a side in this fight. But there is one character in this movie that I think you are absolutely going to hate the way that I do. And I think it'll push you on the Pattinson side.
Is it all of them?
Yes, but I hone in on one specifically.
Look, though, how could you hate this face?
those little broody eyes of his.
Those little pillow fire.
No, I will say that Jacob is one of the worst movie characters ever. I cannot stand him, and it has pushed me to be Team Cullen. I hate to have a stamp of approval on either side, but it's only fair that we're on the path to Pattinson that I pick a side.
So is the cost of admission I have to choose a team?
Well, we have some plans. We're going to do some check-ins with you throughout our Twilight journey.
So I do have my own guilty pleasure vampire stuff in my own past. I was a True Blood guy back in the day, which is, at the time, was the grown-up equivalent of schlocky-ass Twilight. Twilight was what they gave the 13-year-olds. True Blood was what they gave the grown-up goth kids.
I could see that.
But back in my youth, it was all Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which I was not on board with at the time. Because again, I think a vampire character, the mythology of it all, has to have a certain R rating to it.
Yeah, I could see
not
that.
Just in production, but in you know,
overall everything
context. Yeah. So looking at a vampire with a PG Disneyfied thing sitting behind you on a flag on the wall.
Hey, I will say that movie was shot rated R and they had to go back and reshoot to make it PG-13. Does that give it a little bit more cred for you?
Did they release the rated R version?
No, they did not.
Then no, it does not. But I am very excited to see your favorite movie, Snort.
I'm really excited to present it to you.
Yeah, especially after some of the stuff that I've recommended to the both of you, I feel like I deserve this. For sure. I'll sit through this again for the sake of this podcast.
You've got your captive audience.
All right. Well, shall we watch this then?
Yeah.
Let's get it to it.
Let's watch Twilight.
Twilight!
And now, our feature presentation.
I got the movie, Dan got the snacks, and we're back, and we just watched Twilight.
So I can say for the first time in my life, I can no longer say that I have never seen Twilight.
And how does that make you feel?
Not gonna lie, John. It makes me feel a little dirty. Makes me feel a little sad. But I do see how this movie exists and why this movie exists and why it is as big as it was, because it was pretty much engineered that way.
Well, we'll get into it and kind of go over the movie. So first, our experience with this movie was flawed, and I will tell you why. We bought it on Amazon, and it just starts playing the very first, like, deer scene halfway through with no voiceover part. Because my first thing about the movie is that the first words are also the first words in the book. But don't worry, I filled you guys in while we were watching.
Oh, yeah. We were brought up to speed. I did also notice that there were no production companies that wanted to be associated with this movie anymore. They were like, we're not even going to put our slate on the front of this Amazon version. So I don't know who made this fucking thing, but somebody might have.
They're not proud that they made it, though. Not anymore.
I can tell you it's Summit Entertainment and Lionsgate.
Look at you. Every little detail, you got it. I'm impressed.
All right, so then we get into our first character, Bella, who is moving out of Phoenix, where she lived with her mom and her soon-to-be stepdad, and she is moving to Forks, Washington. Population, 3,020. So she moves there with her dad, Charlie, who we find out is the chief of police.
Just your basic all-American father figure. What a nice but awkward dad he is.
Yeah, the awkward scenes with her and her dad. So I understand that it was supposed to be awkward.
Yeah.
But there was an awkwardness to it that wasn't... There was like multiple layers of awkwardness to it.
Yeah.
It felt more the room awkward. Oh, I was waiting for an oh hi mark to slip out at some point. Anytime those two interacted, it just felt like... I don't know. Like, it was supposed to be awkward, but it was just also awkward them two acting together.
Right. My few notes I had just said LOL condiments. The whole scene of them finagling with the condiments in the diner. Like,
yeah, the part where Kristen Stewart forgot how ketchup worked.
It made me cringe a lot.
So after that, we get our intro into Billy and Jacob Black, who is going to be another main character in this saga.
Okay, which ones are these? Because I don't know anybody's names except for, like, I know the Edward and the Jacobs.
Okay, so Jacob.
Wait, wait, that's the same Jacob? That's like the Team Jacob Jacob?
Yes, yeah. Yeah,
anytime Jacob. I've ever seen the Team Jacob, like, what's with all the fucking hair?
We'll get there. Okay.
Takes a little bit of a transformation.
Okay.
And Billy is his father.
Okay, the gentleman in the wheelchair.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
And we find out that Jacob goes to school on the reservation, so Bella's not going to know anyone at school, all of that. So she gets to her first day of school, and we start meeting her friends that are going to show up throughout the saga also.
Okay, I really have no idea who any of their names are.
Yeah.
Can we just call Anna Kendrick Anna Kendrick?
Yeah, we can call all.
Then I at least know one of them. I don't know the other ones.
That's fair.
That's fine. That's fine.
Do I have to?
No, no.
Okay.
No.
These people are red shirts. We don't care about them for the most part.
Yeah, you don't need to pay attention to those people. I'm just saying they're her friends.
They exist.
Yes. Okay. So then we get to the scene of they're in the cafeteria and Bella looks over her shoulder and says, "Who are they?" And we meet the Cullen family. We find out that Dr. and Miss Cullen adopted these kids, but some of them are like together. Okay, so we have Rosalind and Emmett. There's going to be the blonde and the big guy. Then we have Alice and Jasper, short-haired girl and the guy with her. And then, of course, everyone's favorite, Edward.
All right, I do have a question about the cafeteria.
Okay.
Why are there flags from every fucking country just hanging around this cafeteria? Does that get revealed later? Like, is this an international school of some kind, or...
No, I think they're just very inclusive people, maybe.
I guess I didn't pick up on that.
No?
No.
I definitely saw some Australia in there.
Really?
They're just trying to educate their students. So, after we meet the Collins, we come to the biology class scene. Bella walks into class, the fans blowing, and we see Edward doing Edward things at his desk.
Can I just say that Edward in this scene, to reference our podcast, The Lighthouse, Edward is looking way more like Robert Jackson in this scene when he first sees Bella.
He did not like the smell of that lobster.
So he was not fond of this one, huh?
So there is another book called Midnight Sun.
What? Wait, this thing has a companion piece?
Stephanie Meyer wrote Midnight Sun, which is the whole Twilight book from Edward's perspective.
Oh my god.
And so if you have read that, then you understand that nothing has ever smelled so good to him in his life that he just wants to murder that entire classroom in that moment.
Fucking fooled me.
So, Edward wants to get out of his class, all of that. He can't. He disappears. Then we see an animal attack happening in an industrial area.
But it's not an animal attack. Don't even say, but we don't know that yet. We know that because it's three fucking people fucking eating another person over some wastewater plants.
So, Bella finally gets back to class, and Edward is there, and we have the first introduction of them. I'm Edward Cullen.
Yeah, the internet for a long time has alluded to the stiffness of the acting in this movie. And I'm going to say it was pretty on par for the most part.
See, and I completely understand that, you know. But I think that it is very much the characters from the book. And that's why I'm okay with it and I appreciate it, you know. How Kristen Stewart acts and all that, you know, like that's Bella though. So after class, then we have the crash scene where we see the first glimpse of Edward being a vampire.
Shortly followed by the first glimpse of Edward and Bella's toxic gaslighting fucking relationship. What are you talking about? You're crazy. I was right next to you.
No one's going to believe you.
No one's going to believe a thing you say. Are you scared of me? Are you scared? And I get that, you know, again, this thing's engineered for 12 to 14 year old girls. And that's exactly what
it fits the narrative.
So then in that time, we meet Carlisle, the father figure of the Collins. Then we have maybe Silent John's favorite scene of the whole movie. La Push, baby.
Oh, there we go. I love going to La Push. I just love that character. I don't know. There's something about the way he delivers the line, La Push, baby.
Belle and her friends go to La Push, and Jacob and his friends are there. And Jacob tells Bella the old legends from his tribe of wolf descendants and these mysterious creatures, presumably the Collins, that they have a treaty with.
I wonder if these wolf descent things is going to lead to something down the line. I mean, it kind of seems like it's something that they'd have to put into this movie, you know, to get the story to move. I don't know if it's going to pay off, though. Like, is something going to come of that?
I don't know. You'll have to wait and see.
The suspense is going to kill you. Ooh.
So then Bella goes to Port Angeles with her friends to go prom dress shopping.
Her friends? Really? Her friends.
She doesn't give two shits about the dresses in this scene.
Right? This was a, like, let's build each other up, you know, let's go try on some dresses, tell me how pretty, let's tell each other how pretty we look before we go to prom. And Kristen Stewart's just like, I'm here to buy a fucking book. I don't even need to ride home from you bitches. Like, I don't blame them for leaving. Like, they waited longer than I fucking would have if somebody was just like, I'm like, hey, you want to go check out this fucking store with me? Yeah, sure. And get there and like 10 minutes later, like, yeah, I'm going to go. Sorry.
It's just not my thing. I'm not into this.
All right, fuck you. Find your way home from Le Sur's the beach. Port Royal?
Port Angeles.
Oh. I'll have all the geography down by the time we get through the second last one. Oh, there's two last ones.
It's funny, too, because I don't really like Anna Kendrick in this movie whatsoever, but in the scene where she shows up late to dinner, and she's like, yeah, we waited around, but sorry, we were really hungry. It's kind of like a response to, bitch, fuck you.
Okay, so I did note that during the volleyball scene, mm-hmm. her sarcastically laughing at Kristen Stewart's bad joke was probably the best acting in the first half an hour. Because it was the most genuine, because that was fucking terrible.
She really does being a like catty kind of bitch character pretty good in this movie, I'd say.
So after Bella goes and gets her book, she's walking the streets of Port Angeles and comes up on a group of guys that are pushing her around and everything. And then out of nowhere, we see the Volvo come in with Edward to save the day.
Okay, him rolling in like Mr. Bean in that fucking hatchback. Like, not the car I expected the vampire to be cruising into this, I'm going to break up this fight scenario with.
It just looked like a straight up rental car.
And after that, they go to the restaurant, and this is where we find out that Edward can read minds, except for Bella's. Okay, so then Edward drives Bella home, and she starts Googling and finds out that Edward is a vampire.
Yeah, it took a long time for her to put those two and two together.
She just had to be sure. You can't just go around just claiming people are vampires.
Okay, and walking, and since they walk around in the sunlight, but I guess it's not really the sunlight because there's a cloud all the time. So I understand that, like, okay, no way he's a fucking vampire. But the things that she's searching, she's like, oh, super strength, can read minds.
Check, check.
Check, check. And she keeps, like, stumbling while she's searching. She's stumbling on this vampire. Like, it's like, okay, girl, like...
She should have just put like vampire checklist into Google and hit I'm feeling lucky.
Yeah, this is a fucking BuzzFeed quiz. At best.
That's what we should do at the end of this podcast. We should all find one of those BuzzFeed quizzes to see
which one character we are. Anyway, well, after that, we get the scene in the woods where Belle confronts Edward and asks her, states all of these claims, asks him how old he is, and we get Robert Pattinson saying 17, but in an English accent. Did you pick up on that little slip? The one slip in the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, the one slip. It felt like he was trying to hold back, like, hold!
I did actually catch it. I know you've told me this before, but I noticed it this time because I kind of,
Then Edward starts doing all his weird vampire stuff and talks through the woods, and we find out that vampires sparkle in twilight.
Sunlight. Well, they sparkle in the sunlight in twilight.
Exactly. In the Twilight Cinematic Universe.
In the twilight of twilight, they would just be regular-looking people. Which, if they're trying to look like regular-looking people, all these vampires in this fucking Pacific Northwest town need to stop taking their shirts off when it's 30 fucking degrees out. Like, you know, you want to wear shorts to let other vampires know you're a vampire also or something, but still kind of blend in and just be the guy that wears shorts when it's cold. That's cool, but come on, man. Fucking button up.
Yeah, it kind of bothered me too. The amount of times they would just emerge from the fucking cold, rainy woods. No shirt, but they have a jacket, so I guess that kind of counts. Nah, it's still weird.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I see some dude walking into Walmart when it's like, you know, almost about to snow or, you know, right around there. You know, shorts. I'm like, oh, okay, he's just that guy.
Yeah.
If I see some dude walking around with his shirt unbuttoned and it's 20 degrees out, vampire. Fucking vampire. There's one of my takeaways from Twilight. Thank you. I can identify him a little bit easier now.
There you go.
Just look for the abs. Vampire.
So, fast forward a little bit. We come to my favorite scene of the entire movie. When Edward and Bella go public. And Edward shows up to school and puts his arm around Bella and says, he's breaking all the rules anyways, since he's going to hell.
Again, it's the 12 to 14-year-old demographic fantasy right there, that whole reveal. Oh, he's going to parade me through the school and everybody's going to look at me. Engineered.
No, did you not see how cool he looked? Are you kidding me?
I feel like if I would have been in the parking lot, I would have stopped and be like, damn, okay, I wish I was that cool. I got the vibe he was going for.
Who's that getting out that rental car?
Hey, man, you've had that rental for a while now. Don't you live here?
So Bella meets the Cullen family. We kind of see all of them in their personalities a little bit more. They're cooking her food.
And inevitably, they don't know how humans work. So they're, but you know what? The effort's appreciated and it's adorable. I will agree to that.
They just do what any human would do. If I don't know how to accomplish something, I go YouTube it. There you go.
It's so human. They're just like us.
Just blending in.
So we get a tour of the Cullen house. We get the graduation cap wall. We see Edward's room. And we get the crazy, hold on, spider monkey line.
See, I forgot that line was in there and how bad it was until you just said it with your words. Because I had coined that as the, I can show you the world sequence. Because that's kind of what I felt when I was watching it.
Shining, shimmering. I get it. I get it.
Sparkling.
And you know a funny thing about that line is Robert Pattinson picked that line to say.
Of course he did.
It's on par with our new friend Pattinson.
Okay, wait. So during this I can show you the world sequence, spider monkey sequence.
Yeah.
It ends on this like really weird note, pun intended, because he's just sitting there playing. Okay, so he's showing her all these things like the vampire can do this, the vampire can do that, I can show you all these sights, and I can play the piano like my 7-year-old child. And she's just, what? You can play a piano too? Read minds, fly, live forever, sparkle in the sunlight, and play a fucking piano. Are you kidding me? A piano?
I'm so glad you picked up on that, because that, him playing the piano, is a really big thing in the books. So that, what he's playing right there is called Bella's Lullaby, and the director actually let Robert Pattinson compose what he thought Bella's Lullaby should be from the books.
Hmm. That, I suppose, makes it a little better, but I just, there's one part in particular in that whole, like, piano transitional scene where she's sitting afar, wow, and then it rotates, and then she's right next to him, just, her eyes are bulging out of her head at the thought of this man playing piano. So, is it just the fact that he's a vampire? Or is it, if one, your average Joe Schmo, if he played piano, would it be the same reaction? Is she just wowed by the piano?
Do you think that, like, while she was doing all of her vampire research, possibly, she came across a little fact that was like, you know, Wikipedia notation needed or whatever, but vampires have no piano abilities. Vampires can't play the piano. So maybe that's why she was so amazed by Edward's abilities.
She no-sold him being able to read minds, but a fucking piano gets her.
Guys, I don't think it's the piano the whole time. Wouldn't you be just in amazement sitting by Edward Cullen, a vampire?
I mean, we probably have a different feeling than you do about that, to be fair. I totally get where you're coming from, but it's this isn't for us. You gotta understand. But, like Dan said prior, and a couple times, based on who it's geared towards, it makes total sense. It fits perfectly in this movie. Even if we don't appreciate it the way that others might.
Yeah, and there was another little piano thing going on in the meadow that I wasn't a fan of. There was something about the music going on in the meadow that felt very, like, awkward for the scene. It, like, you would hear this really nice melodic piano, and then, dink, dunk, 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 for, like, 2 seconds, and then back to the nice melodic piano under it. Like, even the music was awkward.
Do you think it, like, ruined the mood of the scene? Did it take you out of it?
I mean, I wasn't in it to begin, but, yeah.
See, and I beg to differ, because I think the music of this whole movie is so good, and that kind of leads us into one of the next biggest scenes. It's time to talk about the baseball scene. We have Supermassive Black Hole playing in the background for it.
Much like House on Haunted Hill 1999's muse, Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
The muse of Twilight was Muse.
And that's a real thing. Stephanie Meyer is very heavily influenced by Muse and has dedicated her books to them. And whoa, they are in
really?
They're in every movie.
Wow.
Soundtrack will be a Muse song.
I didn't know that she was like that close with him. That's pretty cool.
I don't know if it's necessarily she's really that close to him or if she's just a fan. Okay. I don't think she's like friends.
So you think she's part of the museum?
Is that what they call themselves? That's genius.
If they don't, they should.
So what did you guys think about the baseball scene, though?
There's a lot of baseball in general in this movie. Between her mom dating this minor league baseball player to them playing baseball. What is the purpose of baseball in this movie?
I think that's author Stephanie Meyer might have just taken all of her own personal fetishes and just said, squish.
This is what vampires
I like. Vampires and baseball players.
I guess that makes
12-year-old girls will like this too.
I mean, I will say it was definitely one of the funner scenes in the movie, in my opinion. There was a lot of things going on, and it really, you know, drove the main conflict right into your face there. So it served its purpose, and I don't know. I'm a sucker for Muse. I guess you could say I'd buy a ticket to the museum, so it makes it a little bit better.
I will say it was probably, out of the entire movie, it was my favorite scene out of the movie. So there you are.
Yay!
Fulfilled.
I think that's what she was hoping for.
That's what I figured would probably be.
Yeah, for as Twilight as the movie was, this was the best scene out of it. There was action-ish stuff. It was cartoony-ish. There was good music. Yeah, favorite scene so far.
Well, that scene leads us into meeting our villains for the movie.
I don't know any of their names.
That's fine. I'll introduce you.
Shirtless guy one. Shirtless guy two. The girl.
Barefoot lady. Put some fucking clothes on, vampires.
So these vampires are nomad vampires. And James, Victoria, and Laurent. And they want to come play baseball too. But then they smell Bella. And we get the "you brought a snack" scene.
They like her lobster.
So, because James is a tracker vampire, he is determined to kill Bella just to piss off Edward, basically. And Edward knows this because he can read James's mind. All of the Cullens and Bella are trying to figure out how to get away from James and run away. And basically have to put on this fake fight for Charlie. And really hurt his feelings.
This is my least fair part of this whole movie. What a devious, dastardly thing to do to this man. To hit him with the quote that his own wife, Bella's mom, walks out on. What the fuck?
Yeah, that always put a little bit of pepper on top of a meal that really did not fucking need it.
Right?
You could have just been like, I need time. I'm going back to mom's house. I just broke up with Edward. Bye. You didn't need to drop the exact same fucking line that your mom did when she shattered this man's world.
Like, she's in high school. Like, parents expect you to get a little angsty at times. Like, yeah, easily. Like, I need to get away. Look, I'm just a little mad at the world right now. I'll be back later.
I mean, but also on the other side, as this girl's father, you've got a 16-year-old daughter who's about to drive cross-country by herself because she would rather drive to think about things than take a flight tomorrow to go, no, honey, no, you are going down tomorrow on a plane to your mother's house. I am not letting my 16-year-old daughter stay at a motel. I'll just pull into a motel if I get tired. No. Do you know what happens in motels?
Murder.
All the murders.
So Alice and Jasper take Bella to Phoenix to get away so they can hide from the tracker. Then we see Alice actually get one of the visions that we heard about her getting.
Did we? I might have been playing with my watch and the light that was reflecting on the ceiling at that point. I was doing an SOS message I was hoping somebody would see.
Alice starts seeing the ballet studio and sketching it out. Bella recognizes it as the ballet studio that she went to in Phoenix when she was a kid. And gets a phone call from her mom, quote-unquote, freaking out. And then James saying that she needs to come save her mom with nobody with her.
How naive of Bella to think that this was going to be a good outcome in this situation.
I mean, she's a 16-year-old girl.
But she's got to save her mom.
I don't know. You know, Edward can't read her thoughts. Maybe there's not a lot going on up top.
She's just kind of used to getting gaslighted in this movie anyway, so it, I guess it fits in the whole scheme.
Well, and that's exactly what happens when she shows up to the ballet studio and James pulls the rug out from under her, that her mom is not there. He's just there to videotape her and kill her.
Yep, it was just a video that he found at her mom's house, sitting in playing on a TV, hiding in a closet.
It worked, though. That's all he needed.
Again. Edward can't read her thoughts.
So we see James start breaking...
Dawn?
Not yet.
Damn it.
We see James start beating up Bella, breaking her leg, until Edward shows up. And then we see the fight in the ballet studio between James and Edward. Breaking the windows, breaking glass everywhere. Bella's bleeding. It's a whole fiasco. And James bites Bella's wrist to start their transformation. The Cullens get there. They're killing James. R.I.P. James, not.
You will burn in hell.
And Edward has to face the decision to either let Bella turn to a vampire, which Alice says she's already seen in the future, or suck the venom from her blood, which is very difficult, and keep her human.
There's something that happened during this scene that's another little tick for you on that side, Snort, because it's something that, like, while I was watching it, I was like, huh, that's interesting. I've never seen that or thought about that before. That's clever.
And that's that, so during that scene when she was bleeding out of her femoral artery on her leg and shit, and like, Dr. Carlisle, whose name I know because of this scene, and Alice are like going back and forth and like trying to fix her and shit, and Alice was like, you know, being overcome with the human blood. And Dr. Carlisle was like sending her away and he's fixing her up. And in my head, I'm like, this guy's a fucking doctor. Like, he deals with human blood all the time. And as a vegetarian, vegan vampire, like, that restraint must be so high for him to be able to deal with that. Like, I'm like, I've never thought that's really interesting. Like, this guy's going to work every day, saving cattle, essentially, and being the most restrained person. Like, I've never seen a doctor vampire before that doesn't drink human blood. That's clever.
You have respect for Dr. Carlisle?
I have respect for Dr. Carlisle.
Nice!
Tick.
Yay!
There you go, Snort.
There's just something about the father figures in this movie. They're all my favorite characters. He's just so nice for a vampire, you know? Like you said, the restraint is so impressive. His kindness is so impressive in such a hateful vampire world that's out there. I mean, he takes all these potentially dying people and saves them and creates a family. It's kind of a feel-good story when you look at it from his perspective.
Does he have a companion piece?
He needs one.
He has a companion story that we see in other movies.
Okay.
Not the movies we're watching, though.
No. Okay.
If you ever get curious enough, though, you know what to pop in.
No.
So Edward decides to not let Bella turn into a vampire and sucks the venom out of her. And we see her wake up and she's there with her mom in the emergency room and Edward hasn't left. She says that she's staying in Forks and doesn't want to go to Florida. Edward talks to her and they are committed that they are staying together despite all of this. And they go to prom because it's a rite of passage.
Yeah, you know, he's done it a few times. He's got some graduation caps. He's got a couple of miles under his belt. We haven't touched on the 100-year-old man and the 16-year-old girl, but we don't have to because everyone else has already done it. And yeah.
I think you just kind of have to suspend your disbelief there for a second and just accept it in this movie. That's obviously something that they're not going to address in a movie made for these teenagers.
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, when they're going to prom, we see our first spark of tension between Edward and Jacob. When Jacob comes and tells Bella that his dad wants her to break up with Edward and that they will be watching her.
Ooh.
And Edward says to Bella that the wolves have descended. A little bit of foreshadowing for our future films.
A little Chekhov's wolf?
Just a little bit.
They keep bringing up this word wolf a lot in this movie. I wonder where they're going with it.
Well, buckle up, buddy.
So they're dancing at prom. We find out that Bella wants to be a vampire like Edward, but Edward is not doing it, at least yet. And we end with Victoria looking off over them. And guys, that was Twilight.
Okay, so I've got some good things. You ready for my good things?
Let's hear them.
It's a good thing they met in biology, because there's no chemistry. It's a good thing this takes place in the Pacific Northwest, because the acting is wooden. It's a good thing they like playing baseball, because it's their only chance at bat. Those are my good things. No, I did enjoy certain aspects of this movie. I'm sure if this came out in my day and age, I probably would have been with some girl that went and watched it and pretended to like it a lot.
So. Been there and done that, buddy. Multiple times. I mean, look, it's definitely not my cup of tea. Dan, it's not yours. Snort, obviously this is your thing and you love it, so that makes me happy. But I know it's not for me, and I can accept it for what it is. I can nitpick at it. I can make fun of it. There are enjoyable things. There are really terrible things. But I had a lot of fun watching it with you guys today. Dan, I'm sorry that you had to watch it, but at the same time, I'm really happy that you finally experienced this. And I'm happy you've experienced it with probably the biggest Twilight fan that I'll ever know in my life.
Well, I learned a lot, and I learned some fun facts about the Twilight and the
Twilight Cinematic Universe, and I got to see where Robert Pattinson got his start and Kristen Stewart got her start. And so I said it before the recording to Snort and John, like, I stopped taking notes at a certain point in this movie because I'm giving this movie I decided, like, looking through my notes, because there was a lot of notes about, like, technical stuff. Like, Oh, I didn't like the music cues. Oh, the acting's wooden. Oh, the scenes felt awkward, shit like that. And that's not per se fault of the content or the actors, even. It's more fault of the production.
Right.
So I stopped because, you know what? Robert Pattinson, this is his second movie. Mm-hmm. Kristen Stewart, this is what? Her probably, like, what, third, fourth? Like, these aren't established. Like, what do you expect out of a couple of fresh actors?
Mm-hmm. I just recently watched an interview with Robert Pattinson online, and he talked about this movie, and he said something that he obviously knew there was a lot of expectations, you know, with a certain demographic for this movie, and so he wanted to take it as seriously as he could. He knew that obviously this wasn't what he wanted his career to be, but he still gave it his all. And I mean, just looking at what we've seen him do in The Lighthouse, and to look and see what the little tidbits of Batman of him that we've seen, it's kind of nice to go back and see his beginnings to see how far he has come. And same with Kristen Stewart. I honestly never really was a Kristen Stewart fan, and this movie was a big part of that, obviously. But with what movie she got nominated for this year, like, I'm definitely on the Stewart train now. Like, I'm even more impressed by her transition than Pattinson's, honestly.
Yep, and I'm really excited to jump straight from this to the last movie, honestly, just based on that, because it's not like I'm going to see these kids grow up. You know, I'm going to see them going from playing Legos to all of a sudden they're fucking playing, you know, or all of a sudden they're driving cars. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm looking at this flag behind you of Breaking Dawn Part 1, and I'm seeing better acting and better chemistry on this one single frame than the entire movie I just watched for the most part.
Well, it's because during this movie is when they fell in love in real life, but then they broke up.
Wah, wah. I feel like just by looking at this little banner, flag, whatever you call it, and seeing little Pattinson so happy, I feel like he's just listening to us discuss this, and he's just laughing. He just loves our takes on Twilight, because I feel like he agrees with most of our takes.
So after watching our first Twilight movie, I want to do kind of a team check. And here's the thing about what team you were on with the Twilight saga. It is obviously Team Edward or Team Jacob were the biggest ones, but you could be team any character. They had stuff for every character. So really, who is your favorite character? Whose team are you on after this first movie?
Well, before we watched this movie, I said Team Edward, and it was mainly because I hate Jacob so much, and I was pleasantly surprised. I can never remember what happens when in these movies, so the lack of Jacob was fantastic for me. But after us sitting here and kind of talking about the dads, I'm kind of stuck. I think I'm in joint custody with both the dads. I'm on Team Dad. I don't know. They're very charming dudes in this movie.
I'm definitely Team Carlisle.
Yeah. Carlisle. You got me on board fully.
He's my guy, and I hope he still exists when we watch the last movie.
We won't spoil anything. We won't say a single word about it.
And obviously, I am always Team Edward, but you know, Carlisle is my second.
Where are the Carlisle pillowcases? Why don't we have those on this couch right now?
Oh, he's on this other pillowcase. Don't worry.
But he's in the very back. He's so small on this thing. Like, look at all the characters.
Oh, that's Carlisle. So tiny. Well, he's just looking over all of them. He's watching over them to make sure that they're good. What, like, a good dad.
The good daddy is. Mm-hmm. Damn it. Okay.
Hold on. Dan's got to read this.
When I was growing up, one of my big worries was clones. I was always worried about another me coming around the corner and just sneaking up on me or something. But as time progressed, the definition of clones changed in my mind to something of joy, something of great happiness. Reza Ranch is a family-owned and locally operated clone ranch serving Oklahoma's cannabis dispensaries and licensed commercial growers. They have vigorous cannabis clones from a selection of quality genetics at a great price. And they've got an upcoming flower harvest this April, so reach out to them at RizaRanch.com and get your order in now.
All right, well, we finished this stop of our path to Pattinson with Twilight. we will continue this path to the very last Twilight movie, Breaking Dawn Part 2.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I'm excited to see the growth of these characters that I have just met.
Just think of like when a TV show does like a time jump. This is all we're doing. We're just doing a time jump in the TCU.
Yeah, we're getting the Avengers Endgame 5 years later. Is there going to be a lot of snaps happening between like now and here, now and then?
There's a big snap in the movie that we're going to watch. I'd say that.
So I have something to look forward to.
Yeah. So keep up with us on our path to Pattinson. Give us a follow at TH Cinema Podcast on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. Give us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We'd really appreciate it. And if you see three friends smoking a lot of weed coming inside from the garage to watch Twilight, come over and say hi. It might just be us. Bye.
Later.
Send help.
It's only in the roots dance where the reggae hits a place. See the daughter them a sway by the DJ and DJ.
Fun fact for Twilight, during that scene when he's explaining all of this, the music that's playing over that, that's Robert Pattinson singing. He's on the soundtrack.
I got nothing to work with that. I got nothing.
You can't even say,
oh. Good for him.
So, Bella meets the Cullen family at the Cullen house, and we kind of see a little bit more personality from all of the characters.
Did you skip the meadow?
Yeah, I did. Dang. I didn't think you were
skipped the
about
meadow. I call you out.
Oh man,
you skipped the meadow.
Guys, I have two
pages. Jolena, she skipped the meadow. I had to go back to it. This is the post credits.
I have two full pages of notes. I felt like I was taking
She's
going to
be
long.
So disappointed in you.